Well, good morning again. What a good-looking group. Turn to the person next to you and say, you look good. Some of you actually acted like you meant it. You do look good. Hey, can't argue with that. How's everybody doing this morning? Freedom. I really like that presentation, Ariel. What a message. What a message. We see the natural, the physical, and we also see the spiritual, don't we? And we always have to look at that. That's how we have to look at things. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. This morning I'm talking about the blood. The title of my sermon is The Voice of the Blood. Genesis 4:10, this is God speaking to Cain. And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And Hebrews 12:24, this is part of our opening scripture, and this is the only part I'm really going to focus on today. Verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Charles Spurgeon says that there's a mysterious link between matter and spirit. There was a lot about the blood back then that they didn't understand. That was 150 years ago. And medical science has advanced quite a bit, but yet there's still things about the blood that we don't understand. We know that it's essential. It's essential to life. It is life. It cleanses us. It nourishes us. I don't think we know everything it does. But it's amazing that God knows. There's so many things in the Bible that a lot of the ordinances and the laws that God gave, that the reason for them has just recently been shown or been revealed. But the blood is still mysterious, and it is important to us. When we sin, life is required for our sins. The forfeiture of life is the penalty that we pay for sinning. The Bible says that the life is in the blood. In our text, it says the blood of sprinkling speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Hebrews 12:24. I'll read it again. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood of sprinkling is the blood of Jesus. We are told to come to the blood of sprinkling, the blood of Jesus, for our salvation, aren't we? Because there's no other way. If there was any other way, then that night in the garden, God would have shown him a different way when he said, if there's any other way, then let this cup pass from me. But there is no other way. He knew it. I think that was just written and just recorded for us so that we would know it. We don't work our way into heaven. We don't work for our salvation. The blood of Jesus. The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Several commentators, John Gill, Albert Barnes, they say that the meaning of the verse isn't that the blood of Jesus is better than the blood of Abel, although it definitely is. What they believe is that the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus is better than the sacrifice of Abel. It's better and it speaks better things than the sacrifice that Abel offered. There are two bloods associated with the account of Abel. There's the blood of the offering, and there's also the blood of the offerer, Abel's blood himself. Which are they talking about in that verse? In Jesus' case, the blood of the offering was also the blood of the offerer. So there really is a difference, and it's hard to compare them because in one we have two bloods, but in the other instance there's only one. But is it about the offering? Our text says the blood of sprinkling speaks better things than the blood of Abel. I'm going to try to compare the two. But first, I want to compare Abel's sacrifice to that of Cain. I believe there is a prescribed time, place, and method of offering the sacrifice. I believe that it was initiated when God provided the clothes for Adam and Eve out of animal skins. Because in order to do that, blood had to be shed. Genesis 4, 3 and 5, 3 through 5. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. They both offered their sacrifice. They both offered what they thought was a worthy sacrifice for God. And from what I understand, what I read in the Bible, the way is accepted is when fire comes down from heaven and it consumes the offering. That didn't happen with Cain's offering. It happened with Abel's offering. Because one was an offering of blood, one was not an offering of blood. So let's look at Abel's offering. Cain and Abel both brought a sacrifice. Cain's offering said, look how hard I've worked. Well, maybe I can give him more credit than that. It's like he's saying, I'm willing to thank God for providing my sustenance, but that's really all I need him for. Because there's no salvation that comes from offering the first fruits out of the ground. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Abel's offering said, I'm a sinner. And that's what God wants to hear from us, isn't it? Abel's offering said, I'm offering this lamb in faith, knowing that there will come a time when the seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's heel. Knowing that there be a time that my Redeemer will live and walk on the earth and offer himself as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the earth. How did he know all that? The gospel to them literally was the seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's heel. But with the clothing and the shedding of blood. See, God reveals an awful lot to us, doesn't he? Cain's offering looked to the ground. Of course, the ground just happened to be cursed, didn't it? Abel's offering looked beyond what he could see. It looked to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now let's compare Abel's sacrifice to that of Christ. Am I talking about the blood of the offering or the blood of the offerer? I'm talking about the blood of the murdered Abel, and I'm talking about the blood of the murdered Jesus Christ. Genesis 4:10, Hebrews 11:4, and Hebrews 12:24 all tell us that Abel's blood speaks. How? It speaks in three ways. It speaks in heaven. And what does it say? It says vengeance. It says, I want justice for what was done for me. You notice it only says it to about one person. Not the whole world. Genesis 4:10, the Lord said it, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. God heard the voice of the blood all the way in heaven. God hears everything all the way in heaven, doesn't he? It speaks to the inhabitants of the earth. Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. He obtained witness. Witness to what? Witness to the world. Because we still look at that example, don't we? And that still speaks to us. Thousands of years later. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Better things. Thirdly, it speaks to the conscience of Cain, or it spoke to the conscience of Cain. Genesis 4:13-14, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. He was tormented by guilt. He knew what he had done. I've heard it say that if you kill somebody, you also kill part of yourself when you do it. I believe that happened to Cain. And he was fearful that someone would seek vengeance on him. Violence came into his life, became a part of his life, so he probably figured, why can't it be the same with everybody else? He'd see a group of people and he'd think that they're going to kill him. Maybe he'd wake up in the middle of the night. Oh, there's someone there with me. Oh, wait, that's my wife. He was tormented. He was haunted by the blood of his brother. His brother's blood spoke to him. The blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. How does it speak? It speaks three ways. It speaks in heaven. And what does it say? It says mercy. It says you're forgiven. Come to me. Come to Calvary. Come to the cross. It's an invitation. Come to Jesus. It says mercy. What about justice? As I mentioned, I'll get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. How can there be justice and mercy at the same time? Because Jesus can do that, can't he? Psalms 85:10 says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Can there be justice and mercy? Yes. Justice says blood has to be shed. Someone has to die. Mercy says, I'll do it for you. I'll take your place. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what the blood of Jesus says to the Father in heaven. It speaks to the inhabitants of the earth. You know, as he said, Father, forgive them. Not just one, like in Cain and Abel's case. Everybody. Everybody that chooses Jesus Christ their Savior. Abel's blood spoke vengeance, but only toward one person. But Jesus' blood spoke mercy to everybody. It speaks to our conscience. And what does it say? It says you're forgiven. There's no more guilt. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. This morning is Communion Sunday. We celebrate the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus. He said, this do in remembrance of me. So once a month on the first Sunday of each month, we observe this in remembrance of him, his sacrifice, what he did for us. I'm going to ask George and Bill to come forward and hand out the elements, please. First Corinthians 11:23-32. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread, that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I'm going to read verse 28 again. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now is the time to examine yourself. Is there anything in your life, or anything in what you do, or your feelings to other people, that's contrary to what God wants? I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes and speak to the Lord. Speak about the things that you see in your heart. Now is the time to bring those to the Lord. Now is the time to ask for forgiveness and ask for his help. Now is the time to judge yourself so that you don't be judged by him. Jesus said that the cornerstone, if it falls on you, you'll be crushed. But anybody that falls on it shall be broken. God wants us broken, not crushed. In other words, we come to him with those things in our life that are contrary to his ways, to what he wants. We bring them to him. We repent of them. We confess them. So now is the time to do that. Has everybody been served? Do we miss anybody? The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you for this bread. We thank you, Lord, for the body that was broken for us. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made. You may eat the bread. For as often as you eat this bread and drink... Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the blood that speaks better than the blood of Abel. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that you shed for each one of us, Lord. The blood that brings forgiveness of sins. The blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The blood that you shed. We thank you, Lord. You may drink the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. He's coming soon, isn't he? Every day it gets closer and closer. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Oh, the precious name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this service today, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for your gift of salvation that we freely, freely receive. Lord, I pray that you'd go with each one of us today. Guide our steps and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.